The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The 20-point plan was passed yesterday in the UN, and it seems that some people are kind of upset about it, which is strange because it's supposed to be bringing peace. But here is Hamas's reaction.
إذا مر مثل هذا القرار في الأمم المتحدة فأنا أعتقد أنها ستكون سابقة كارثية في التاريخ الدولي وفي تاريخ العلاقة بين الشعوب وأنا أظن أن شعبنا سيكون له موقف واضح ومقاومته فيما لو مر مثل هذا القرار ولم يكن هناك أي موافقة في يوم من الأيام على فكرة نزع سلاح الشعب الفلسطيني أو المقاومة الفلسطينية لا من حماس ولا من غير حماس من الفصائل
أولا حركة حماس لن تسلم سلاحها هذا أمر يعني غير خاضع للتفاوض الأمر الثاني أن قيادة حماس لن تخرج قيادات حركة حماس شعارها إما أن ننتصر أو نستشهد
This is literally what's happening in America as we speak.
Say that we want to have revival of the deen. It means you want to bring the deen back as a practical implementation in society. If Islam was here as a system, as a way of life, there would be an army that would defend these Muslims.
America, the American government, secularism, democracy, capitalism, these are cancers. Non-Muslims are tired of this cancer. They're tired of the American government. They're tired of democracy. They want to see a new way of life.
First move that I will do, I will abolish the constitution and I will establish the only and the only logical and rational constitution, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Can I tell you the greatest irony of this? I can't help but to think of our good friend Tucker Carlson. And all of these people are like, AIPAC, AIPAC, the AIPAC is twisting. AIPAC is like such a little small potatoes nothing. Maybe like, $50 million compared to $5 billion of influence coming in from Qatar all over America. And here we are hearing literally what they're accusing the Jews of is what Islam and the Jihad is doing. And they're obfuscating that with the smokescreen and pointing at Israel and the Jewish people.
Greg Abbott. In the state of Texas, right now, is working to ban a Sharia law court that's been in practice there, essentially subverting U.S. law and the U.S. courts. How crazy is that?
We covered some numbers on my show yesterday. I think in Dallas, about 48 mosques have sprung up in the last 2 years. 2 years, think about that, in the greater Dallas area. Now, again, that's not to say that the individual Muslim person, your neighbor, can't be a perfectly lovely person. But we know, and as my friend Charlie Kirk often pointed out, Islam at scale becomes oppressive. It's a proselytizing religion that wants other people either to convert or, as the man pointed out in that video, live as dhimmis, live as second-class citizens.
And Huckabee, the clown ambassador, who's an embarrassment, a total embarrassment, what he's saying with his insanity, he ought to be recalled immediately and removed.
Got to get Huckabee out because, he's meeting with... A Jew who was a spy back in the 1980s, he can't talk to him. But, I mean, these others, we can talk to radical Islamists. We can talk to Al-Qaeda. We can talk to Nazi lovers. It really is a free-for-all at the moment. But the one constant is that if you hate Jews, I mean, you're going to get a lot of support. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at the Trumpet Daily. Sorry, thetrumpet.com. I think the Trumpet Daily too, but either way. Also the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. So I told the guys coming in, I'll probably bounce around a little bit, but what we're seeing on display is will worship. We're worshiping human opinions, human reasoning, insanity, insane thinking is just, it abounds. It's everywhere. It's every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. This obsession that we have for peace agreements, the hatred that you see for Jews, all the internal problems that we have in our nations, the division, the strife, Democrats calling for a military coup, basically. What is going on? It's just more and more proof that human nature is dangerously sick. It's wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And the only solution is the sound-mindedness that comes from God. I'll get to the story here in a moment. The New York Times, the big reveal, Huckabee meeting with Jonathan Pollard, I think is his name, spied on the U.S. in the 1980s. I mean, the man was pardoned basically in 2020 by President Trump as a favor to Bibi Netanyahu. And then he meets secretively, and who knows why he's meeting with Pollard. Probably not the best idea when you're the U.S. ambassador to Israel. He meets with Pollard 5 months ago, I think it was. And the New York Times, yes, the New York Times. There's a lot of people. You heard Tucker say, I mean, he dislikes the evangelicals that love Israel more than any other group. And so Tucker and Candace, I mean, they're all gang tackling Mike Huckabee. We got to get him out, man. He loves the Jews too much. Meanwhile, if you're keeping score at home, you've got President Trump meeting with Al-Qaeda in the White House, okay? You've got Witkoff meeting with Hamas face-to-face. That's right. And you've got Tucker sitting down and having dialogue with the Hitler lover, the Nazi. There you go. But how dare Huckabee meet with a Jew who spied on the United States in the 1980s? Well, as I recall, the Hamas terrorist group started in the 1980s, vowing to kill Jews. But have they repented? Well, maybe Pollard's repented. Who knows? I'm not sitting here saying Huckabee was right to have him in. I'm just pointing out that we're living in times of mental derangement. The mind is not stable. There's no consistency. And that's because God is not dwelling in us. It's because we don't have the Spirit of God guiding our thoughts, our actions. It's because we don't have God's nature. If I can find it in my notes, this was the 28-point plan. You just heard at the start, it was, I know, in Arabic and such, but basically these Hamas representatives are saying, we're not going to disarm. We're not going to give. I don't care what it says in the 20-point peace plan from President Trump. I mean, they just openly, defiantly say it to your face. And yet here comes Witkoff. Well, let's have another chat. Let's have another talk. I think it was Tucker who said, hey, if you don't like the way I interview or who I interview, then, you know, do the interview yourself. But Mike Huckabee's not going to be given that much latitude. He's probably on the way out. What a perfect excuse for Donald Trump to remove the Christian Zionist. Yeah, got to get rid of the Zionist. Got to sever all those ties with the Jews. So you switch over to the 28-point plan. As I say, it gets more complicated, more convoluted as you go. 20 points to bring peace to Gaza, 28 to bring peace to the Ukraine. Point two, Axios revealed this. Point two on the peace plan. A comprehensive non-aggression agreement will be concluded between Russia, Ukraine, and Europe. All ambiguities of the last 30 years will be considered settled. Wow. You mean every ambiguity? It's gone? It's settled? It's over? Just like that? Just because of a piece of paper? That's amazing. I mean, that is wonderful. Point four says a dialogue will be held between Russia and NATO, mediated by the United States, to resolve all security issues and create conditions for de-escalation in order to ensure global security and increase opportunities for cooperation and future economic development. Point number four suggests that a dialogue is going to bring everyone together. That's actually written into the agreement. This is unbelievable. The faith that we put in man, even when we're just all over the map, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to what's allowed, what's not allowed. You can meet with Al-Qaeda, don't meet with the Jew, though. This world is about to explode in violence, and it's because it doesn't have God's thinking. It doesn't have God's nature. It doesn't have God's mind. Let me just read to you what I finished class with the other day. This is over in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, where he talks about the nature of God, the mind of God, the heart of God. That's what man needs. This is what we're missing. This is what we're missing. And the only way to get it, to receive it, is through a miracle from God and by repentance, repenting of our sins, turning to God in humility and faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, there's so much corruption in the world. James, I read yesterday in chapter 4, it says, why is there war and fighting among you? Well, it comes down to the lusts of the flesh, selfishness. I played the clip yesterday. One of the commentators summing up the focus of the Trump administration, money and peace. Money and peace. Just sign the dotted line. Listen, if you sign this, we're going to have dialogue. And everything from the past 30 years is over. And we move on. And everybody makes money, I guess. And we have everlasting peace. We have eternal peace. This is from 2 Timothy. I alluded to this the other day. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Paul says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And you've got to stir up God's Spirit. You've got to stir up that gift. Timothy, at this point in the history, I mean, his faith was shaken. And Paul said, look, the key to stability, spiritually speaking, is to make sure you're stirring up that gift from God, the gift of his Spirit, the gift that is God's mind. Notice verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Spirit of God is the spirit of sound-mindedness. And we don't see that in the world today. We see a lot of mental instability. And we see a lot of drug-taking. We see a lot of derangement. Whether it's Trump derangement or peace derangement or Israel derangement syndrome. People are thinking in ways that, well, it's just insane. It's not even normal for human reasoning. It's so much worse today than, I mean, in some ways, you look at the 1930s and you say, you know, history's repeating itself, and it is. It certainly is, but this time around, Satan and the demons are cast down. They're confined to this earth. Revelation 12 brings this out. And so it's so much worse, really. My father had this article back in 2020, A Dangerous New Age of Worshiping the Will, Worshiping Human Opinions. It's dangerous to do that. And we're entering into this dangerous New Age. This article's 5 years old. He says American politics are in a state of hysteria. There's a deadly reason so many people are adopting insane ideas. Why are so many people adopting insane ideas? Why would Huckabee invite Pollard into the embassy? And then why, who does Tucker or whoever think they are to then criticize that dialogue and say that any dialogue I do is perfectly acceptable? It's perfectly right. It's needed. It's necessary. I mean, you've got to sit down and talk with Hitler if you're going to make peace, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We've learned nothing from history, have we? Haven't we? It says here, what is happening in America? A haze of deception enshrouds our nation. It's stunning how easily, listen to this, how easily journalists, politicians, and other figures today deceive people. It just happens so easily. It happens with one passing statement. It's like I said yesterday. We jump up and down because, well, we finally have peace with Putin, and we don't even consider what happened 3 months ago. Just 3 months. Putin knows exactly what to say in order to deceive people. He's an expert at it. He's been doing it for decades. We must understand the spirit behind this deception, as it is far more dangerous than most people realize. It's incredible, again, to see history repeating itself, only it's even worse this time around. Look at the hatred for the Jews. You saw in the opening cold open there, the spread of Islam. I mean, it's spreading through America. It's spreading through Britain. It's spreading through Israel. I mean, there's a lot of Palestinians that live within little Judah. And then, of course, there's a lot of neighbors, as we know, that want to destroy the Jewish state. They want October 7 times 1,000. And they say it to your face. And what do we do with it? Well, we sit down with them and we try to be nice. We try to talk some sense into them. Look at how the media, I went through this earlier this week, look at how instrumental they are in spreading lies and deception. And here they are freaking out because Donald Trump responds to these Democrats who are calling for an insurrection by saying that, you know, you should be tried and sentenced to death for that kind of treason, for being a traitor. And then Joe Scarborough's head explodes. What? Look, that's threatening their life. They can call, his side can call for insurrection, a military coup. And if President Trump calls them out, he's the one that's stirring up hatred. You see, as I say, it's all over the map. It's every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. And through it all, we've got these nonstop negotiations going on, this unlimited faith that we're putting in leagues of nations or boards of peace. And the world here is right on the verge of total annihilation. I mean, we said it last year, Obama, the dear leader, he's been silenced. And God did intervene to bring Jeroboam in, to bring Donald Trump back into office. But at the same time, I mean, Satan is still the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 still stands. Just because we had a pretty dramatic change politically in the United States doesn't change the fact that the whole world is deceived. That Satan is its god. And that we've entered into a dangerous time of will worship, worshiping opinions. It's written about in Colossians 2. Go look at that passage. Read 2 Timothy 1, 2 Peter 1, as we just did. This is the big reveal from the New York Times. And you have to wonder if this was a setup. I mean, who in the CIA tipped off the New York Times? Who's working with the New York Times to leak these stories? And why aren't the leakers ever punished? And we saw this all through Donald Trump's first term. Just one leak after another after another. The New York Times and the Washington Post just constantly trying to overthrow the Trump administration. That's their goal. Huckabee held meeting at U.S. Embassy with American who spied for Israel. The headline tells you everything that you need to know. Why didn't we get a headline from the New York Times? Trump held meeting with Al-Qaeda. An Al-Qaeda member who killed U.S. troops. I mean, that's worse than spying. In many ways, it's worse than spying. And it doesn't even go back to the 80s. This Al-Qaeda guy was doing it in the 2000s. In the 2010s. And now he's got a nice suit. And he's got a trim beard. And he looks presentable. It says here, Ambassador Mike Huckabee, President Trump's envoy to Israel, met at the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem in July. So this happened 5 months ago. With Jonathan Pollard, an American who spent 30 years in prison for spying for Israel. The highly unusual meeting caught some U.S. officials by surprise and appeared to be a sharp break with years of precedent for American diplomats. Uh-oh, Huckabee's in trouble. The Christian Zionist is in trouble. Met with Pollard. Says here, the CIA declined to comment. At least officially, they'll comment through leaks. They'll save their comments for the leaking. It says here, it was unclear whether officials at the State Department had signed off on Mr. Huckabee's meeting with Pollard in advance. The State Department didn't respond. This is further on in the piece. In November 2015, Mr. Pollard was released on parole from a federal penitentiary in North Carolina. But he was not permitted to travel outside the U.S. 5 years later, at the end of President Trump's first term, the Justice Department declined to extend his parole restrictions, and he moved to Israel, which had granted him citizenship while he was incarcerated. At the time, the Justice Department's demurral was seen as a gesture from Mr. Trump to Mr. Netanyahu. A nice gesture. Look, he's been in prison for 30-some years. He did his damage back in the 80s, but we'll let him go. You can have him back. But how dare Huckabee talk with him in the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem? You see where this is headed? There's a lot of Tuckerites out there who hate Christian Zionists. They hate anyone that would be pro-Israel. And so you see it on social media last night. They're all ganging up on Huckabee. How much longer will he last now? Because there's a lot of people that hate Jews. And you can't even explain why. It's like my father says in the Key of David booklet. So many people hate Jews, and they don't even understand why. Lots of mental derangement. Lots of insane thinking. President Trump responding to these high-profile Democrats, calling for an insurrection openly on video. He says in a post, it's called seditious behavior at the highest level. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. That's Trump saying they should be arrested, put on trial, and he's right. And then you see the radical left. You see their deranged thinking on display as their heads explode. This is from Jesse Waters last night, clip two.
This week, Democrats sent a clear message to everybody in the military and CIA. You're free to commit treason. What exactly are they telling the military to resist? They don't know.
Reminding them of their obligation
from the commander in chief
because
we are asking our military to carry out. Are you objecting to? This is very, very vague. And it was so vague in this video. I don't think people could figure out what you guys were all talking about, honestly.
Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of very disturbing comments and suggestions that would violate U.S. law and put our military in terrible positions.
Again, we're getting nowhere because you're not talking about an order.
I don't want to wait until that happens to remind our troops of their obligation because then it'll be too late.
This is devious and subversive. They're planting coup seeds inside the Pentagon and at Langley. The CIA already interfered in Trump's elections multiple times, and now they're saying we've got your back if you do it again. This is psychological warfare launched by sitting politicians against the American military in peacetime. Democrats are trying to blow up the chain of command. The president responded. It's called seditious behavior at the highest level. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. He followed up, seditious behavior punishable by death. Democrats just told the military to disobey the president, and now they're mad when he says don't commit treason. This is their new talking point. The shutdown didn't work. Epstein kaboom blew up in their face. So now the Sombrero boys have moved on to execution.
And he was nearly, President Trump, I mean, was nearly executed last year. It's really comical and also very sad and sobering to just see where we are as a country, to see how little unity and togetherness there is, so little love and concern for other people. And it's because of the mind of God. It's missing. It's not in our minds like it should be. So much. I mean, the spirit of just fighting and contention, division, strife, calling for the military, the CIA, the intel community to rise up against Trump. And to put it in the vague language, as you heard there, so that they can kind of back away from it and say, well, the real problem here is the Trump tweet. Trump derangement. Skip ahead to clip 4.
Oh, I think this is part of a long-term plan by the Democrats. This is all a part of the Russia hoax, where the public finally got the truth that the Russia hoax was indeed a hoax, and now they're going to try this. They're going to try sedition. The president hasn't done anything wrong. Most people don't know what in the world the Democrats are talking about here, but what they are talking about is trying to plant a little seed in the minds of Americans that something terrible is going to happen at the hands of Donald Trump, so we have to be ready for it. It's all part of this broader hoax.
These are the kind of things you are trained to do as a CIA officer in other countries. This is out of the playbook, to stir up insurrections, to get people to distrust each other, to foment unrest within the government. Isn't that what they're doing here?
That's exactly what they're doing. Jesse, this is right out of the CIA playbook. This is exactly what we were trained to do in those years that we were getting ready to go into the field. You're trained to destabilize. You're trained to make people distrust each other. And here it is playing out on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it's happening right within our own nation. And it's not like this is the first time it's ever happened. I mean, they took out Trump in 2020, the deep state. They stole the election. Look at how they weaponized COVID and the lockdowns. Look at how they changed all of the ballot laws, mass mail-in ballots. These are Americans that are trying to destroy fellow Americans. Again, to just highlight the level of insanity, the level of will worship. You've got this deranged hatred for Jews, this obsession to make peace with terrorists. You've got the internal division and strife. You've got immigration just running through the nations of Israel, overwhelming the nations of Israel, attacking the nations of Israel, mosques popping up all over the place. Are these all signs that we're moving toward peace and prosperity for everyone? Or is human nature about to lead to all kinds of explosions of violence and suffering? President Trump calls out the treasonous actors, and the treasonous actors in the media rush to attack Donald Trump, as you would expect. Here's Scarborough, clip six.
Getting angry at anybody for telling troops don't commit illegal acts, it's just nonsensical. And then Donald Trump, because he's trying to distract from the Epstein files, mm-hmm. he's trying to distract from the fact that he has the lowest approval rating that he's had in the second term. He's trying to distract from the fact that Democrats have the largest generic ballot lead that I can remember in my lifetime, 54 to 41. He's trying to distract from the fact that only one in three Americans say that they think Donald Trump is handling the government the right way. You can go on and on and on. But again, go back to the Epstein file, something that he wants to desperately take off. So what do? You just say, hey, these senators should be executed because they're actually stating law that you can't commit illegal actions.
There you go. Almost unbearable. Town Hall says, what some Democrats did was insane. The fact that they think this is possible is odd. They're trying to pick a fight and it's over the dumbest thing ever. They've all posted little videos pleading with American service members to commit treason because Trump is president. See, TDS. Don't follow unlawful orders, they said. Translation, don't do whatever Trump does that's constitutionally permissible. Just don't do what Trump says. He's Trump. I mean, he's Orange Hitler. And we have to resist Hitler. Except if it's, a Hitler lover like Fuentes, then you want to talk to him. Does that make sense? Does this make sense? It doesn't make sense. Mental instability. And it's getting worse. You've got all the mind-altering drugs that we're just consuming in large quantities. And it's opening our minds to the devil's influence. This is from The Hill. Senator Mark Kelly expressed surprise and anger Thursday at President Trump's suggestion that he and six Democrats with military or national security backgrounds be put to death for seditious behavior. Well, you suggested that people rise up and rebel against the commander-in-chief. There's just problems all around. And they're not solvable, are they? They're not solvable. You know, it's easy to pick on Tucker because of the Israel derangement syndrome. But in this case, you have to give him credit for at least exposing the truth about this Crooks fellow, Thomas Crooks, the young man that nearly killed or assassinated Donald Trump just a year and a half ago. And for his part, Tucker has tried to uncover the truth about all of these disturbing associations and connections that I guess Chris Wray's FBI didn't really care about. I'm not even sure Kash Patel's FBI does. But here's Tucker from earlier this week, clip 15.
These are videos the FBI has worked hard to make sure you haven't seen. They're from the Google Drive account of Thomas Crooks, the man who on July 13th, 2024, showed up at the Butler County, Pennsylvania fairgrounds and tried to assassinate the frontrunner, Donald Trump.
And look what happened to our country. Probably 20 million people. And that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
That day, Thomas Crooks came within a quarter inch of destroying this country. And yet, a year and a half later, we still know almost nothing about him or why he did it. That's because, for some reason, the FBI, even the current FBI, doesn't want us to know.
What's up?
Notice he says they're even the current FBI. I mean, why wouldn't Kash Patel? I mean, after all of it, he wrote the book about the gangsters in D.C. And then he gets into that position of power and there's nothing. Tucker's right. In this case, he's right. Crooks came within a quarter of an inch of destroying the country. We were that close to erupting in civil war. And yet we move on. No, I mean, Scarborough's worried about a tweet. Not Crooks. Not someone that very nearly destroyed the country. You can see why God had to intervene. And thank God that he does. Even when we're surrounded by mental derangement, God's purpose stands. It always does. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And you look at the world today and you can certainly see why. Here's more from Tucker's reveal, clip 16.
In September, we obtained hundreds of comments from Thomas Crooks' YouTube account. Since then, we've gone to great lengths to verify that they're real. We can now confidently say they are. These are genuine, written by Thomas Crooks. But although Crooks' comments are interesting and give tremendous insight into why he did it, they're not the only story. The other story, in fact, the far more significant story, involves the government, the DOJ, and the FBI, which have hidden from the public what they know about Thomas Crooks. The purpose of this report is to reveal details of Crooks' social media accounts and to confront a series of key questions. Why is the FBI keeping Crooks' views a secret? Why are they ignoring congressional subpoenas to divulge information? Why are they pretending that there's nothing to see here? And more than anything, what are they hiding?
I mean, it's a bigger story than the Crooks story. The cover-up, covering up all these crimes. Tucker goes and talks about this young man's, just his fascination or obsession with assassinations. A very disturbed young fellow. And initially, he's a Trump hater. And then around about the early part of 2020, he was initially a hardcore, supporter of Trump. And then he had a conversion to the radical left. In early 2020, I'll skip a few of these clips since we're running out of time, but clip 19 is the one that talks about how he had a change of heart politically, clip 19.
And yet in early 2020, Crooks seemed to change radically. On January 23rd of that year, he referred to, quote, Trump's stupidity. He began to mock the concept of the deep state. He suggested it was a code word used by Trump supporters for, quote, anyone who disagrees with the right wing. Suddenly, he sounded like an MSNBC commentator. In February of 2020, he called out Trump supporters as, quote, too brainwashed to realize how dumb you are. I mean, literally, you guys sound like a cult at times. That same day, he called Trump and his supporters, quote, racist. It was an amazing transformation. That April, during the peak phase of the coronavirus lockdowns, Crooks wrote, quote, it seems that you people don't understand that sometimes public safety comes before your personal rights. Are you not willing to quarantine one member of your family to save the rest? If so, you are not a patriot and you aren't protecting anything. Around this time, the new left-wing version of Thomas Crooks became very critical of conservative media.
So he has his conversion to the radical left in 2020, and Tucker in a couple of the clips says it's during peak, you know, COVID lockdown months. And not to suggest that, you know, the lockdown is what made him turn violent. He had a fascination with assassinations of all things for years. And some would call him out on social media. And evidently the FBI never did see any of this dialogue. They spy on Jim Jordan. But they can't figure out that Thomas Crooks is a danger to society. This is from the National Library of Medicine. The COVID-19 pandemic and government intervention, such as lockdowns, may severely affect people's mental health. I mean, whether or not this affected Thomas Crooks is irrelevant, really, but The fact remains that we're sick and we're getting sicker because of man, because of the rule of man. I mentioned yesterday all these people in Britain that are leaving the country because of sick government. They're tired of it. They're looking for some kind of relief. They're looking for a place or a lifestyle that would just be peaceful and safe. What is happening to our nations? This article says, we also found a significant increase in searches for loneliness, worry, and sadness, while searches for stress, suicide, and divorce, on the contrary, fell. This is during peak lockdown months 5 years ago. Our results suggest that people's mental health may have been severely affected by the pandemic and the lockdown. But you, I mean, you're old enough to remember what it was like 5 years ago. What a nightmare. And yet we just all, you know, had to follow along. Sometimes we're shouted down because we didn't have the mask high enough over the nose. And now look at the effects of it all. Look at what it's done to our mental health or lack thereof. COVID-19 pandemic triggers 25% increase in prevalence of anxiety and depression worldwide. That's from the World Health Organization. In the first year of the pandemic, global prevalence of anxiety and depression increased by 25%. It says further on, the pandemic has affected the mental health of young people and that they are disproportionately at risk of suicidal and self-harming behaviors. I mean, it hurt our children the most. It shut down schools. So sad. You look at some of the other headlines. Well, let me just play another bit from Tucker's reveal on the Thomas Crooks story, clip 20.
That May, as state officials across the country overhauled election systems to promote mail-in voting, Crooks attacked Republican concerns about voter fraud as, quote, ignorant. 4 months later, in August 2020, his tone had shifted even further to the left. He said, quote, I believe the outcome will be irrelevant. In response to the same video, Thomas Crooks issued what sounds a lot like a digital manifesto. Quote, in my opinion, the only way to fight the government is with terrorism-style attacks. Sneak a bomb into an essential building and set it off before anyone sees you. Track down any important people or politicians, military leaders, etc., and try to assassinate them. Any sort of head-to-head fight is suicide, and even ambush or surprise attacks likely aren't going to end well. These remarks were especially notable because they came at the final phase of Crooks's YouTube commenting. At that point, a new character emerged into the conversation, a user named Willie Tepes, who started pressuring Crooks to commit violence. For example, quote, if a gun and a badge is all that is needed, then authority obviously comes from the barrel of a gun. We have more guns than they do. There is no way we can avoid a war at this point, so you better just get used to the idea. We have nothing to lose and everything to win. And the alternative, a global police state, is unacceptable. Nothing in life is simple, but that is no argument against doing it. So who is this Willie Tepes? Unfortunately, we don't know. The FBI hasn't made any mention of him in public, although they certainly know he exists. Just days after the shooting, somebody screenshotted Tepes' YouTube account page, despite the fact he had very few followers. To the extent that he can be traced online now, you can find his username being used on a foreign Antifa website. Those sites link him to the Nordic Resistance Movement, which has been designated a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department. That's all we know.
In the next clip, he talks some about just the similar interests that Crooks had with the killer of Charlie Kirk, the one who assassinated Charlie Kirk back in September. Play clip 21.
From early 2019 to mid-2020, as his political views were evolving, Crooks searched for Trump more than 700 times online. He also searched for Jack Ruby, the man who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald. He then submitted queries for craziest chemical reactions, cars running over protesters, best places for mass shooting El Paso, Trump Civil War, Orlando shooting reaction, firing an AR-15 as fast as possible, fertilizer bomb, how to make napalm, how to make a Molotov cocktail, mass shooting Canada, Oklahoma bombing, and sniper in Dallas shooting. He also searched for American Nazi Party, German National Anthem 1933-1945, Hitler speeches with subtitles, neo-Nazis, and, quote, why gays need to go.
There you go. FBI, I guess, couldn't find the trail before it was too late. I mean, he was able to fire off eight rounds. This is, well, let me just move ahead. I want to read this article or part of it. Religion Unplugged. This is from, the title is When Rage Replaces Reason, The Rise of America's Violent Creed. It says, for much of its history, America drew from a different source. Belief in God, whether voiced in church, synagogue, or in the civic language of natural rights, provided a shared moral grammar. Even those who doubted still moved within that framework. To break a promise, to strike a neighbor, to torch a business, these were not only crimes against man, but sins before God. That grammar has eroded. Now think about this, or remember this. The next time you hear commentators talking about the revival, the religious revival, is it reviving a spirit of morality and upright living, law-abiding citizens? It says here, many of us speak the same language, but theologically we are back at Babel, our tongues colliding, our meanings scattered. Morality is recast as preference, truth as perspective, faith as oppression. It says the result is a public square without a compass. Politics rushes in to fill the vacuum. Protest becomes a perverse performance. Rage becomes redemption. To shout down a speaker or smash a window is reframed as virtue. I mean, we're seeing this all over the place. Mental derangement. Insane thinking. This other article, Mastering Anger, says, according to the Gallup Global Emotions Report, 23% of global adults said they felt a lot of anger the previous day. Why are we so angry? Why are we so depressed? Why are so many of our young people suicidal? Why are there so many incidents of rage, whether it's on the highway or across borders? Here you've got Islamists in the United States calling for the destruction of the Constitution. You've got Democrats in the United States calling for the overthrow of Donald Trump. You've got Donald Trump calling for these people to be tried and executed. And you've got lots of ambassadors for peace sitting down with Hamas, Al-Qaeda, not Nazi lovers. I think Crooks probably would have enjoyed listening to Fuentes. And then Tucker, you see how it's all just this tangled web of human reasoning. Mental stability, there's not much of it. There's no soundness in our thinking, in our reasoning, because we've gotten so far away from the Bible. People are angry. My father wrote an article earlier this year, Why God is Saving America Through Trump. He says, the fact is, America is enjoying fewer and fewer of these blessings and is suffering more and more of these curses, weather disasters, agricultural blights, sickness, disease, promiscuity, family breakdown, skyrocketing debt, porous borders, weak law enforcement, broken national will, defeat in war. He says, the problems facing this country are not merely the result of a handful of wicked leaders. They are signs of national sins that are arousing God's deep anger. Think about those verses we read at the start. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And, well, the verse before that, Paul said to Timothy, make sure you stir up the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is His mind. It's His power. It's His love. It's the Spirit of sound mindedness. That's all we have time for, because I want to leave a few minutes for this week's edition of World Watch. We'll finish the show with that segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
Iraq held its parliamentary elections on November 11th. Preliminary statistics released on November 12th indicated 56% voter turnout and a win for incumbent Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani's coalition by more than 300,000 votes. To form a government, Sudani will have to expand his coalition, which could take months. But the real winner of this election is Iran. The election runner-up is the Islamic Dawa Party, a Shia fundamentalist party that looks to Iran's Islamic Revolution for inspiration. The party is led by former Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who is closely aligned with Iran's regime. The Popular Mobilization Forces, Iraq's Iran-controlled Shiite militias, sponsored Sudani's run for Prime Minister. Under Sudani, the U.S. has accelerated its departure from Iraq, removing the biggest obstacle to Iran's outright control. To learn more about what Bible prophecy says regarding Iran's power in Iraq, read He Was Right About Iraq in the newly updated booklet The King of the South. Cyprus will assume the six-month rotating presidency for the Council of the European Union in January, and Germany, the true leader of the EU, intends to help. President Nikos Christodoulidis traveled to Germany on November 14th to discuss priorities for Cyprus's coming EU leadership role. At a joint press conference with German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, Christodoulidis said that Germany's role is crucial to achieving its key priorities as head of the Council. Germany dominates the EU, especially Cyprus. Christodoulidis began his speech by highlighting his nation's close ties to Germany. He also announced that Cyprus wants to supply natural gas to the EU starting in 2027. Biblical prophecy reveals that Cyprus has a key role in Germany's future plans. Cyprus is developing into a military base of operation for Germany. This island nation will become a literal launching point for dramatic end-time Bible prophecies. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Why Germany Conquered Cyprus. On November 16th, an explosion damaged a railroad leading from Poland's capital of Warsaw toward Ukraine. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk called it an unprecedented act of sabotage targeting directly the security of the Polish state and its civilians. Though no one was injured, Tusk said the explosion targeted a route that is crucially important for delivering aid to Ukraine. The implication was clear. Tusk believes Russia struck infrastructure deep within Poland. Poland has also experienced a growing number of attacks on its water and sewage systems, according to the Deputy Prime Minister. In February, Polish authorities arrested a Russian citizen for allegedly sending parcels containing explosive material to industrial and infrastructure sites. Russia is also accused of using drones periodically to shut down airports across Europe. Europe's fears of Russian aggression are pressuring Europeans into unification and militarization. To learn more, read Russia's War on Ukraine is Reshaping Europe. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.